Before a few months ago, anyone looking to supplement his or her Robin Hitchcock music catalog might have had a hard time. But then Yep Rock Records out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina released I Want to Go Backwards. It's a compilation of three of the British songwriter's releases, Black Snake, Diamond Roll, I Often Dream of Trains, and I, plus a collection of B-sides, outtakes, and home recordings. And come this summer, Luminous Groove will focus on Hitchcock's 1980s and 90s works with his band, The Egyptians. We really didn't want to wait until then, so we invited Robin Hitchcock into our studio. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Allison. Hi.
I want to go backwards. Did you really want to go backwards, or did Yep Rock Records come find you and say, Robin, please, let us do this?
No, I knew my stuff was out of print. Because the deals are all, they expire every, 5 or 7 years or something. You know, it's nice to be able to get these things out, because this is probably the last time people are going to actually want to pay to buy a physical recorded product. Next time round, when this deal has expired, assuming our society is still functioning in any technological way, if people want this stuff, it will presumably be available just as a download. That's why I'm having them released on vinyl. I got Yep Rock to do vinyl simply because digital stuff tends to become obsolete quicker than vinyl. In other words, the grooves won't fall off a record, but apparently the bytes will slip off of a CD. So if you want to leave your oeuvre, for the ears of history, a being from the future just has to look at this rotating rotary thing. And if it's smart, whichever planet or time zone it comes from, it can put it on a wheel and stick a pin in it, and we'll, hear this tiny little ant-like voice going. I mean, of course, they might play it backwards, so they
Have
might just hear
for
the
that?
Whole thing.
Are there messages you've encoded for the future?
I hadn't thought of that. I don't know. I mean, anyway, that was my thinking was, okay, I just want to get this physically out one more time. And the most eternal sonic medium we have still, the most lasting one, seems to be vinyl.
Something else about the way you've decided to re-release these, which I've forgotten even just today, how much I love cover art and liner notes. And, I mean, I'm a downloader. But, oh, I like mm-hmm. this, 99 cents here, 99. But then you start, you forget what it's like to have the packaging and to let it fall out and feel it. And as I was looking at the... Thatcher Mauled Britain? That's the B-sides and the outtakes and all. Would you mind reading a little? I loved reading this. A little bit of your thoughts about demos.
Okay. This is what I wrote. Between the birth of a song and its first public appearance on stage or record lies the demo. Ostensibly, the demo is a prototype, not for public consumption, but for its creator, to see how it looks and feels outside of their own amniotic imagination. But, as Matthew Seligman once remarked, there are no such things as demos. Once anything is recorded, it can be released.
You still feel that way?
Well, I think it depends what you're going for. If you're going for something that relies on a lot of production, the demo might just be a version of the song, but what you care about is all the little clicks and beats and chatters and chords and reverbs and delays that make up a soundscape that we call production. Like a Mariah Carey record. Mm-hmm. She's not going to sit there with a ukulele and go, okay, I think this one's got the feel, That's what the recording industry is about, and it's something that has never really worked for me. I've found that the greater the budget I've had with records and the more time and energy and love that's been put into making them, the less they work. People who like my stuff invariably throng to the stuff I've recorded as quickly and cheaply as possible.
May we hear a song?
Okay, hang on, yeah.
Hang on one second. Okay. They're going to change all their levels so you sound not too perfect.
No, it shouldn't be too perfect at all. This is one of the demos on that record.
You'll never have the damn thing out, or meet the Pope and kiss his neck and like him more than you expect. And in my mind the color red is written in blood above your head tonight. When the time is right, you'll never wash the damn stuff off or meet the queen and kiss her throat and ask her where you hang your coat. And in my mind, the color blue will never be as dark as you tonight. When the time is right, you'll never shave the damn thing off or meet the judge and kiss his face and ask him where he keeps his wigs. And in my mind, the color pink will do more tonight. And in my mind, the color green is oh so lonely and obscene tonight. When the time is right.
We're speaking with Robin Hitchcock, who's come by our studios. And I mentioned that this summer, Luminous Groove will focus on your work with the band The Egyptians. But I think the most recent group you've worked with has been the Venus Three, yes?
That's right, yeah.
From an album called Ole Tarantula. Tell us who the Venus Three are, because they're familiar names to you and
the
to
Venus
many of our listeners.
The Venus Three are a mutation of REM with Scott McCoy, Peter Buck, and Bill Rieflin, who are all in... Well, they're all in REM now.
Is this a one-off project, or is this something you can think about for the future?
No, I mean, it goes back ages, because Peter and I have been playing together since, 84, 85. And in fact, Peter is on a couple of tracks on I Want to Go Backwards. So we just formalized it, you know, like people who've been living together for ages and then decide to get married for tax reasons or something. We should be doing some gigs next year. We actually have a lot of songs recorded, and sometime this year those will be mixed and finished off. So Venus 3 Volume 2 will appear in, you know, January or something.
Well, I do want to play a track from Ole Tarantula called Adventure Rocket Ship for those who haven't heard Robin Hitchcock and Venus 3.
Adventure Rocket Ship inside a head parade, a message from the future. Crash upon a star. Attention, rocket ship. A message from the grave.
So, Robin, this time last year, though, you were also talking about a documentary called Sex, Food, Death, and Insects. I believe it's recently come out on DVD.
Yes, it has come out. That's right. It's out. I think it was being shown on the Sundance Channel last year.
And one sort of cheeky reviewer said that the title suggests those are all your favorite obsessions.
Well, I wouldn't argue with them. Give them a big kiss.
So it's true.
Well, as I say in the film, you know, sex is what gets you here, food keeps you here, and death lets you out. You know, take away those three and where are you? Not in this life. And insects are just like us, but slightly different. They will probably inherit the earth if we screw it up the way we are doing at the moment. The cockroach will be one of the few things that will be reliably here. I'm very aware of the fact that we don't have very long. We have all eternity in which not to exist. We live for the strike of a match, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for. That's the duration of our consciousness is like... a match struck in the darkness of eternity. That's Alison or Robin, you know?
Yeah, you're interested in documenting, though, clearly, by deciding to put out I want to go backwards on vinyl, and you want to make sure it sticks around for
somebody. I think exactly, yeah, because the that's why one of the reasons we have art. You know, it's our attempt to pass things on. We know we're not going to be here, but we think there will be somebody next, and the closest we can get to immortality is by just passing on these messages.
When you were choosing the material for either Luminous Groove or I Want to Go Backwards, did you think about putting together this story, the story of our culture, the story of Robin Hitchcock's life?
Oh, no. In fact, I think the less that's known about Robin Hitchcock, the better. You know, I'm not really... I guess I'm not very good at being objective about myself. Being focused on, I don't know, you know, it's difficult. You got to make a living, so you can't court obscurity. But mm-hmm. as an artist, I'm happier to be an observer than to be observed. And I don't really care about being remembered. What I do want to be able to do is to contribute to the way people see things. And you know when it's working because it gets to other people.
Can you play for us a song that you know has gotten to somebody?
Well, I can play... I can play this one, actually. I know one of the people that works here was very keen on it. Okay. This is about where I come from.
I often dream of trains when I'm alone. I ride on them into another zone. I dream of them constantly, heading for paradise, or Basingstoke, or Reading. I often dream of trains when I'm awake. They ride along beside a frozen lake, and there in the buffet car I wait for eternity, or Basingstoke or Reading. I often dream of trains till it gets light. The summer turns to winter overnight. The leaves fall so suddenly. The sun sets at 4 o'clock. Exactly what I'm dreading. I often dream of trains when I'm with you. I wonder if you dream about them too. Maybe we'll meet one night out in the corridor. I'm waiting for you, baby. Baby.
Robin, you are currently on tour. You're going to be on the West Coast this upcoming weekend. And I read in one article you described tours as work described as fun. What dupes you when you're on tour and you're thinking, gosh, this is a terrible amount of fun? Wait a minute, I'm working.
When you wake up the next day.
Yeah.
In theory, basically, it's fun. I mean, you know, this may seem very intense, but it's actually something that you would drink to, you know. I mean, you would sit there with some kind of intoxicant and groove to whatever it is that I'm playing or Nick Lowe is playing, you know, because I'm on tour with Nick. So it's that kind of thing.
So when your tour is over, you head home to England?
I'm doing a bit of film work. I'm doing some music for a film in Hollywood, of course. Mm. And then I'm going back home, yeah.
Will that feel good?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been out too long, but it's always great to complete the circuit and get home, definitely. You know, I've been to New York more times than I can count. There are certain places I've been going for, you know, longer than... I mean, a lot of the cops weren't even born when I first got to some of those places in New York, and I'm still going there, you know, from back in the smoke age. So I don't come from here, but I appear here, and then I'm sort of tipped back into my bottle and I reemerge in the world that I actually inhabit. So I'm kind of manifesting in all these trails that I wouldn't necessarily, I don't come from.
Well, we wish you safe travel in your trails and your journeys about from Hollywood back to home and back to New York anytime. We hope you'll come back by.
Thanks, Allison. Thank you.
We should also mention that last song Robin played is called I Often Dream of Trains. Web editor Laura Conaway made that the best song in the world today a few weeks ago. We're going to repost that on our blog, npr.org/Bryant Park. Stay with us. Coming up on the show, a catch-up on the case of three men known as the West Memphis Three. We'll explain. This is the BPP from NPR News.